Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast on the 2nd of July, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. The HAT Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin has another 2 days of mostly dry weather. Also coming up today, Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller on the news, including just how much Indiana farmland has been lost and a huge victory for the ag industry at the Supreme Court. Monday, soybean and wheat markets strong. We'll have settlements and John Zanker market analysis on the HAT Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
We knew we were losing the farmland. Now we have the data to back it up, and a legal win for agriculture. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Back in 2023, the Indiana General Assembly passed House-enrolled Act 1557, tasking the Indiana State Department of Agriculture to complete an inventory of lost farmland in Indiana from 2010 to 2022. ISDA released that data Monday. Director Don Lamb says that unsurprisingly, the data does show a loss of Indiana farmland during those years.
We show that we've lost about 1.89% of our farmland in that time, which is somewhere around 345,000, 350,000 acres. So it's not an insignificant number, but it's one of those things where what they asked us to do was really come up with a baseline. You know, we make a lot of assumptions about farmland loss, and we look around and we see it going away. So we make assumptions, but we really didn't know what that meant to us in numbers. So that was the goal of this project, was to get that baseline established, and we think we've done that.
ISDA compiled the report using data from the Indiana Department of Local Government Finance and USDA. 2023 data from USDA shows 14.6 million acres of farmland being operated currently in Indiana. Also, unsurprising, Lamb says the primary cause of reduction in farmland was due to residential use.
And if you look at the map of where it is, it's around the urban areas, and you can, you know, we've got some maps that show, you know, the areas that have had the quickest amount of development, that it is, you know, mostly residential as far as taking up land. And of course, that follows jobs, it follows businesses. So a business may take up a little bit of the land, and then it takes quite a bit of land in housing to provide the workers for that business. And so, as you would expect, around the urban areas is where most of that growth has taken place.
ISDA outlined several recommendations within the report to the Legislative Council, including that legislation be passed directing ISDA to update the inventory of lost farmland every 5 years to have more accurate data. To view the full 2010 to 2022 report or narrative, and to hear my full interview with ISDA Director Lamb, visit HoosierAgToday.com. The Supreme Court last week overturned 40 years of legal precedent that gave federal agencies regulatory powers that federal courts had to follow. C.J. Miller reports how some are calling the decision a huge victory for the ag industry.
If we're thinking about long-term impact, I would say this is easily one of the biggest decisions we've gotten from the Supreme Court, at least in the last decade.
And that's Mary Thomas Hart, chief counsel with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Back in 1984, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that federal agencies like USDA, FDA, and EPA not only had the power to put laws into place without congressional approval, but the power to interpret and rule upon those very laws they issue. That 1984 case has been referred to as the Chevron deference. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the Chevron deference, which now gives federal judges the ability to call the shots instead of the agencies themselves. Hart says the Chevron deference allowed the EPA to reinterpret the WOTUS statute 14 different times until the Supreme Court finally stepped in.
Every time we got a new president, every time we got a new set of priorities, that definition changed and the features that were on your property changed. It significantly affected the cost of compliance, cost of maintaining your own private property, and that is directly a product of Chevron deference.
Travis Cushman with American Farm Bureau says they were thrilled with the Supreme Court's decision and that it puts Congress, instead of unelected bureaucrats, back into the driver's seat.
So many regulations that we believe that whether it's USDA, EPA, labor, push the bounds of what Congress intended. And this will force those agencies to really evaluate how much authority they have to regulate and allow us to challenge them when they've gone too far.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at FCMA.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eile steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
The Soil and Water Outcomes Fund is working with growers to implement new conservation practices such as tillage reduction, cover crop implementation, or extended crop rotation. Tyler Rausch is Indiana's field program representative for the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. He says the program will not only reduce erosion and improve your soil health, but you'll also receive monetary compensation for putting these practices into place.
Last year, our average payment was $33 an acre. Nice thing about that is you receive a free estimate before signing the contract with the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. We need to be looking to implement a new conservation practice. So the key piece is there's something new on your operation.
In 2023, the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund enrolled over 300,000 acres and provided over $10.5 million in payments to farmers. To learn more about how to enroll in their program, check out theoutcomesfund.com.
A little warmer today and more humid for sure. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. Let's take a look at that Indiana farm forecast here on Hoosier Ag Today. It's going to be a nice forecast for the most part. We're going to string together another two-ish dry days here for the Hoosier State. Yesterday was fantastic. Sunday was gorgeous. Today, warmer, more humid, but precipitation-free. Tomorrow, I think largely precipitation-free. I won't rule out a few late pop-up showers and thunderstorms in northern Indiana. But what we're looking at here for, well, today and tomorrow, I think is an extension of a window for wheat harvest. You know, the wheat was ready quite a while ago in a lot of areas, but then the rains came and kind of slowed us down. I think this is your opportunity to get into the field and work on the old wheat harvest here with the dry down that we saw over the past couple of days and low humidity. Yes, we're more humid today, but we should be warmer and dry it quickly. Same story tomorrow. So once again, moisture, I don't think we see any of it until maybe a few pop-up showers over parts of Indiana tomorrow evening and overnight. And then as we go into the Thursday time frame, Independence Day, yeah, the moisture that starts to show up overnight Wednesday night will just continue to morph and grow into a bigger round of precipitation, showers, and thunderstorms through Independence Day on Thursday. And I think we have a long tail on this going into Friday. Some lingering on again, off again showers combined from late tomorrow through Thursday and Friday. I think we're looking at anywhere from Well, I would say likely a quarter to 1.5 inches, but I am concerned about even some 2-inch rainfall totals out there. Everybody gets moisture the second half of this week. That takes us into the weekend. I think we're dry for Saturday and Sunday. Then we get to next week. Monday, hit and miss scattered showers. Tuesday, unsettled, hit and miss scattered showers. Wednesday, we may escape without much precipitation Wednesday, but then go into Thursday, Friday, trying to dry down a little bit more. Unsettled is mostly the key word for the week next week, as I think we have more moisture coming through. Look, it's going to be great for growing and developing crops. Not so great if you need to do some field work or if you still have wheat harvest or something like that to do. It's going to be dodging showers to try and get it in. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A late comeback in corn, strong all day long in soybeans and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank. Settlements on the way. We begin, though, with market analysis to find out what was happening behind the scenes on Monday. I checked in with John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities, for his comments. John, mixed markets, but mostly higher and higher throughout the daytime session for soybeans and wheat after a lower overnight session across the board. So we saw some strength, certainly in beans, support coming from soy meal and oil. Anything else?
Well, just a little bit of a recovery from Friday's debacle. Certainly a sad report for corn, one that took a lot of people by surprise as far as acreage, including me. I thought maybe the surprise of the day could be a 1 million acre drop in corn. Instead, we had over 1 million acre gain. And that was well over the average trade guess by about 1.12 million acres. So, you know, between a bearish stocks number, which was higher than expected, and this acreage, we potentially added 300 million bushels to do the ending carryout for this upcoming year, and, you know, 300 million bushels to supply going into the upcoming marketing year. So not a good day. Rough day for futures on Friday. New lows established. Additional lows established today. So it is nice to see this market come back and close almost 6 cents off of the daily low.
And in corn, it looked like another rough go with losses throughout the session. But late in the session, we come back to about even for the day. So kind of a win, although not much strength to be seen there.
No, this report will have some lasting repercussions here for a while. I mean, we just took the wind out of our sails, and we had gotten down to multi-year lows. So it looked like if we could get a bullish surprise out of the USDA, we might have a chance of getting those December futures certainly back up above 450, but maybe into that 460, 470 area. And certainly if there's any kind of weather scare developing here, maybe around the middle of the month into late July, August, which we have seen several times in the last several years, that that kind of a bounce is becoming more and more likely. But again, we're into one of those if scenarios, hoping for something to happen to get this market turned around. And, you know, we really never feel comfortable hoping for some sort of hot and dry weather scare to develop. Because we can be underneath that one, you know, and it's just never a comfortable feeling, and I don't like being in that position. But the reality of it is we're not going to see any kind of rally of substance here, corn, beans, or wheat, without a pretty significant weather problem erupting here in the next 4 to 8 weeks.
That sounds like you're suggesting what we saw then on Monday may not materialize again on Tuesday.
Well, very much so. You know, beans, you know, we got some help there. Certainly if, you know, we added that many bean or corn acres, we were going to take some away from beans. So I've been worried about putting a, you know, going down to the $10 level in the fall if we had a 1 million acre increase and a yield over and above the previous record yield. So taking a million out eases that concern a little bit, but we're looking at a bean crop right now that's certainly got the potential to exceed the USDA's current projection, and I think maybe up in that 54 bushels per acre range. But we're going to need a good August and sure has been difficult to get one of those over the last 10 years or so.
John Zenker, Risk Management Commodities. Get him at 866-837-9027. On the Hat Monday Farm Market Review. Settlements up a penny in the end for July corn, only hitting the 398 and a quarter level at the close. September goes down a half cent. December finishes down a quarter at 420 and a half. In beans, 9 cents up for July, 1159 and a half. August up 12 and a half cents. Novi up 7, 11.11. In July, wheat settles at 569 and a quarter, up 15 and three quarters. August live cattle, 184.27, down $1.15. And the August lean hogs dropped $1.32 at 88.17. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.